Hey guys, this is absolutely a joy and a delight for me. You know, and here in the tribe, we focus on not only finding the woman of our dreams, but becoming the man of her dreams. And I'm just delighted to have today on the line with me Jordan Harbinger, who has been a friend for over 3 years. We did an interview a while back. Really, compared to where we are today, it was in the infancy of Dream Connections. And we talked about so many things we had in common. Jordan is a really, I'm just going to say, a world-leading men's personal development coach. He runs a credible boot camp. In fact, you know, my personal admin director, John Henry Gribb, went through that as well at the time. He was looking at coming to work for us. Nothing but great things to say. And of course, since 3 years ago, we first did an interview. His program has skyrocketed and exploded. He's now interviewing some of the greatest people in the world. Seth Godin is one of my absolute heroes and others. So, Jordan, dude, welcome to Man's Quest and the Dream Connections Tribe. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, man, it's just totally, totally my pleasure and always a delight to reconnect with you. We've kept in touch a little bit over the years, but hey, give the guys a little bit of an update. I want to just go back to talking about, you know, you and I, we share our stories sometimes with our guys about how we got into what we do. And I know we've only got so much time here, but you know, tell us some of the story. What is it exactly that you've done and what's just grown so crazy about everything you're doing, what you're loving to do today. So, give them the background. You know, how'd you get into what you're doing and what is it you do?
Sure. So several years ago, like a decade ago almost now, I was working on Wall Street and as an attorney. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was supposed to be like my mentor was never in the office. And I sort of complained to HR about that when they asked about how my mentorship program was going, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And so he took me out for coffee because he kind of had to. And of course, this is a partner at a law firm. He doesn't have to do anything. And he was pretty annoyed that happened. And I thought, I don't care about this job. You know, I'm young. I can get another one. And he said, so what's the deal here? And I said, how come you're never in the office, but everyone says that you make the most money out of all the partners? And so he's kind of laughing about that. And he's like, all right, well, if that's what you want to know. So he started to get into how he creates the relationships and he generates the business for the firm. And I thought that was really interesting. So basically, he was spending most of his time networking, creating relationships and business and with other folks. And that was the primary sort of definer of his success within the firm. So he didn't need to bill hours as much as he needed to maintain those relationships. And those relationships resulted in deals that were more valuable than simply billable hours or the bonus that results from that. So I thought, this is great. You know, I don't have to sleep under my desk. I don't have to try to outsmart all these really smart folks. I just need to focus on relationship building. And if I get a handle on this early, I'll be sort of first to market in the firm because most people don't really focus on relationship building and bringing in business until they're a partner or right before that. And so he was a young partner who was sort of indispensable. Wow. And of course compensated as such. So I put all my eggs in the networking and relationship building basket, even though I was terrible at both of those things. And that was about a decade ago. And I kept working on that. And I ran into my now business partner, AJ, who is really good with the opposite sex. And we started to marry those two skill sets in The Art of Charm. So we basically, the show, The Art of Charm podcast, and the product that we offer, or the products that we offer, including our live training, where guys fly in from all over the world and stay at our residential facility in LA, is focused on those skill sets. So relationship building for dating purposes, but also for business purposes. We get a lot of guys coming in for that too.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I'm going to dive in a little bit here in a second about what you actually do and what you've learned about what you do. But first, give me an update since last we talked. Just, you know, and it's okay for you to brag a little bit. How far has The Art of Charm exploded now? And you got interviews with some of the, I consider, world thought leaders. You know, just tell me what's happened the last 3 years with your brand.
Sure. So we started to focus a lot less on dating in terms of the shows and a lot more on the networking and content that comes out of that. Because I think when people are looking for relationship building advice, dating advice, attraction advice, they realize that some company or some group of coaches that can teach the networking skill set, the personal relationship skill set, the relationship management skill set, if you already have a significant other, you can read between the lines and go, okay, these guys know how to create meaningful, long-lasting attraction, manage relationships, and apply this stuff to business. However, people who are only looking for business type of coaching or relationship management stuff, who are maybe married already, they don't want to go to anything that might be branded as a dating or boot camp or attraction boot camp. So we did a brand shift. Now, the skills are still as applicable to dating and as they ever were, into the interpersonal or sort of intimate sphere as they ever were. It's just that we don't brand that way as much because it scares people away from a legitimate skill set because of all these like yutzy pickup guys and other like really piss poor weird dating guru type guys out there that just give the whole scene and the whole industry a bad name, and for good reason, because a lot of them are sleaze bags, and I'm sure you've seen them out in your trips to Ukraine where they're running around with a bunch of weird like 45-year-old virgin type guys, and they're going after these Ukrainian women, and it's really kind of creepy and sad. And in fact, I believe there was a talk show over there where a couple of them were sort of publicly embarrassed about that. Have you seen this? Did you see that clip? It was like these guys go on a talk show in Ukraine to talk about this book that he wrote about sleeping with Ukrainian women and how easy it was, and they're basically like this guy, and they just shred him on this talk show. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and he needed to be shredded.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. No, it's embarrassing. You know, it's funny because what I do, obviously, I've just boldly gone where no man has gone before and just sort of established myself as the authority now in international dating. And my brand has been growing phenomenally. And it's very, you know, now we've had two Discovery Channel opportunities in Europe and plus it talks about one in the U.S. And the fascinating part is people are tired of the crap stories. They're tired of the negative stereotypes and the words getting out that we're doing something legitimate. I only focus on guys who are ready for a long-term relationship. So my niche is, you'd say, is pretty small, but in a sense, everybody's looking for love. They want something lasting. And the thing I love about you is, in addition to the dating work that you've done, you have also traveled the world and you've dated women overseas. And you were the one to say, Mark, dude, I know you're onto something, but your industry has such a stigma to it. So I've just kind of boldly still marched ahead doing what I'm doing. And people have, you know, because there's something instinctively people know, okay, the entire international world of women out there can't all be these quote unquote male order bride stereotypes. There's got to be some real people living in these places around the world. And that's been our goal, is to connect good guys who are sincerely interested in finding the superior life relationship. My average client is 38. I don't take guys over 60 on the group tour experiences just because they're not going to be as successful. You know, we have individual programs for guys. We go through multiple interviews. You know, we do the right stuff, and then the byproduct has been tremendously successful. But I've had guys continually find us cold and assume that we're part of this, you know, other parts of the industry which aren't so noble. And in a sense, I've just had the guts up and just say, hey, it's what I do. I love it. Those who are meant to come on board and want to find the best for their lives, they join us. And those who aren't interested, you guys can go find somewhere else to go. But flying in the face of the stereotype has certainly been something I've lived with. And in the byproduct, there are professional men out there who are highly successful in their careers, highly successful on every aspect of their life financially, and they get frustrated with not finding what they're looking for, and somehow one time or another they actually get in touch with somebody who married somebody overseas. And sometimes you see it as actors or famous movie people or millionaires, you know, they marry people overseas, and all of a sudden they realize, well, there's got to be something to it. And so we've been the one to connect those, and by and large our clientele have been very similar to the ones you're describing. So the interesting connection here, the reason I wanted to interview you again, is the byproduct of the clientele we attract are the same. These are guys who are looking for the best in their life. They're the ones who say, if I'm going to make a decision to find a life partner, I want it to be something that mirrors what I do professionally and to have a superior relationship. And we know overseas, you know, the women aren't as obese. You know, they have a different value system. They have an honor and respect for men. And so what I find is clientele are attracted to me are guys who want the best for their lives. So it's interesting. The byproduct is these kind of guys who want the best for their lives. Naturally, I've ended up developing a mastermind group, and we've done a lot of personal development work. So to me, this kind of guys, you know, are finding us. And the connection between what you do and our guys is a perfect match. And I have no problem, you know, saying to you guys openly, I love Jordan, and I totally promote what he does. And if you guys really want to take what you're doing in personal development to that superior level with a guy who does it with an absolute professional finesse to truly get you to be running at a high level of personal performance, you know, this is the guy. And I don't endorse anybody else in this industry, but Jordan really does that. So after pimping you like that,
I got a job for you, man.
I would like to go back and ask you to, in kind, give me some of your experience overseas to say, you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying the kind of ladies that are available out there for a professional guy, if he really does want a superior relationship. Give me a uh-huh, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, here's the thing. I actually lived in Ukraine for a summer literally 10 years ago now. So my info, sorry, more than probably 12 years ago now. So my information's a little dated, but the genetic pool doesn't change that much.
No.
The women that and this is back before I had started evolving my skill set at all with just people and especially with the opposite sex. So I met tons of women that were really pretty and had no idea what to do with them, which is kind of funny. And I lived with a family, and that family had a daughter, and the daughter, of course, had a bunch of friends that were – Ukraine's this very familial type place where, like, her daughter's friends were from other cities, but they kind of lived with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't – it was strange. It was like I had all these sisters that sometimes lived in the house and sometimes just kind of, like – floated around, I don't know, to their boyfriends or something. I actually don't know now that I think about it. But they were all really cool, and it was really comfortable and as rough around the edges as they might have seemed on the outside, kind of like, you know, they would be very blunt, like, you look like crap in that shirt. You need to get a new shirt. They would say stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't designed to, like, hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. They were actually trying to spare me from trying to figure out why maybe other girls didn't like that or didn't like me. So I, after a while, found it really refreshing because they were just super open, super honest, blunt, talked really freely. And yeah, they were super nice. I remember coming home one day, and I like these old world values in a lot of ways. I came home one day and my host mother wasn't home. My host father wasn't home. My host sister wasn't at home, but one of her friends was, like, reading in the kitchen. And I was like, oh, hi. And I'd only met this girl a couple of times, and she was like, hi, you must be Jordan. You know, I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll just retreat to my room awkwardly, right? Because it's like a long time ago, I didn't really know what was going on. And she's like, no, come here. And she starts talking to me, and she's like, are you hungry? And I'm like, yeah. And so she made me food. And I thought, this is so weird. I've never had this happen. Now, granted, I'm an only child, so I grew up without sisters in America. So this might mean nothing to somebody who grew up with, like, five older sisters. Mm-hmm. But for this girl to just, like, make food for me in my house where she was a guest, it was really strange. And when I tried to help, she was like, no, sit down. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I thought, this is really cool. I could get really used to this. And it wasn't like she was some pushover who would have just done whatever I needed because she grew up in a, you know, 1950s United States type of culture. Mm-hmm. It was because she was totally comfortable with that role.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also totally comfortable being like, you look like crap in that shirt. And that's what I really liked about being in that foreign culture, is it's a totally different set of what's acceptable without necessarily relinquishing what we like about modern society where, you know, women have rights and opinions that we can also listen to. So I can totally see how you can have a real relationship with somebody of a different culture, you know, and it's totally normal. It doesn't mean you're doing the mail order bride thing because there's a stigma attached, which I'm sure you're very all too familiar.
Yep.
And there's probably some of that if you go online and you know, link up with somebody in rural China. Yeah, you're probably doing something sketch. But if you go to a European country and talk with people who are from the same country as, like, your grandma, you know, it's not too far fetched. It's more of a language barrier and not a whole lot else.
No, it's the interesting part is I love is I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm doing a relationship book now because. One of the things I've learned is the connection, the perfect blend between, you know, good men in the West and the real sincere ladies. Like you're saying, they have these values where and I'll just tell you that background behind why the ladies would say that is when they feel like you're in their circle, you're part of the family for whatever reason, or even in a friendship circle, the reason they're going to say very directly how your shirt is or whatever your case may be is because they identify a different way of looking at relationships. And I talk about this, where in the West we consider relationships to be something that's a partnership. We're looking for our life partner. They have this mythology about finding your half. The two souls are separated. When you find each other, you're reunited. And therefore, you will hear them repeatedly talk about this phrase. I had a woman who was a doctor in St. Petersburg who came here, married a guy in Sacramento, and finished her residency. She runs a floor at Kaiser, you know, with 27 nurses under her. And when we went over to their house for dinner, she just graciously served us. You know, Mike, her husband, and I got to sit out in the backyard, have a cigar and a beer. And he's just saying, dude, I swear I just found, you know, the secret to the world. And he was happy with his marriage after 9 years. You know, she hadn't gained any weight. This is another thing overseas. There's very low obesity, healthy people. And over dinner, she said this, you know, every day I go to work and I listen to these women who are competing, in a sense, for their husbands. And the competition is something inherent in the relationship in the West. And this is why I really want to help people understand the nature of this. The idea of finding your half means you're now something that represents her. In other words, they say, I would never do anything to publicly embarrass you because you're my half. Why would I want to hurt myself? That was her literal quote. She goes, I don't understand this competitive nature in relationships. Why would you want to hurt yourself? And the difference this makes is phenomenal. I mean, it can go back to the biblical Genesis 1 where it says the two shall become one flesh. But the real idea that the other person who's in your circle is somehow also a reflection on you and you are of them is a guiding thing in the culture, which I have, it blows my mind the more I get into this, how incredibly noble and also relationship building it is. There's less than 20% divorce rate among international marriages, and this has got to be part of it, because they look at everything from a standpoint of there's nothing relationship destroying. A lot of times in our relationships, we worry when there's an argument that it's going to end with a nuclear trigger. This relationship's over. And they're not that way. Any topic they talk about is just about that topic. They wouldn't want you to go in public looking bad, you know, because you're representative of their entire family. You represent them, you represent each other, and they represent you. So this is one reason they always leave the house looking fantastic and dressed well, is because they believe, hey, when they're on the street, they would never want it to get back to you that they look sloppy. Because they are a representative reflection of you. And to me, the dynamic that this represents absolutely blows my mind. And it does so many great things that's noble about the way they treat relationships that certainly was worth a study. And I've done my some papers. I found some great psychology papers that have reaffirmed this in ways. You know, when you come from a fresh perspective of looking at how do people consider relationships around the world? Why would this be a better model? I think we can learn a lot from these people that we often denigrate as being third world. And Ukraine is not third world. It's certainly an emerging nation. But there's so much nobility to people who understand really honest, healthy relationships that I think we can learn from. And the more I get into this business that I'm in, the more I realize these are very noble cultures, something we can learn from and really truly respect.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And there is something too that, I mean, your significant other in the United States would also say, geez, you're not going to wear that shirt, and they'll throw it away for you. But usually you don't see that until you're in a relationship. But yeah, in Ukraine, it seems like a lot of it is much more blunt, and it's a lot earlier on, and you're thinking, geez, I didn't sign up for this. But it does come from a place of, I think, like you said, love and caring versus them trying to change you before they're even dating you or whatever sort of mythology you guys invent in their head for this right. behavior.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's definitely out of love. And the byproduct is worth listening to. You know, it was funny. I was just, it was 10 years ago now. I started my adventures dating overseas myself. I met my wife in 2006, and I look at pictures when back then I had this little goatee thing going. My hair was a little poofier, and I dressed in Hawaiian shirts and things like this. And my wife says, fortunately, I could see through that and loved who you were as a person. But I've had people, you compare pictures side by side, and you go, Mark, you look younger now than you did 10 years ago. So the funny part is it really pisses you off. Typically, whatever advice they give is usually right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really lovely. Now, I want to get into back to what you do for guys, because I get guys who now they want to have a fresh start, you know, and I don't take guys who are going overseas because they're pissed off at their ex and they're trying to one-up them by coming home with a hottie. That guy just won't get on into my program because, you know, if you did go over and find an amazingly beautiful woman who was, you know, nurturing and supportive and still, you know, vibrant. I mean, these are women who could come run a business. You know, they're very bright people. They're very educated. The average population is more educated in Ukraine than the average American. You know, but, you know, it's always like if you find this match, but you haven't resolved, you know, why the last and taken any responsibility for the last issues or carry bitterness of any kind, you'll end up going into this new relationship with, quote unquote, I found the right one. And you'll end up training that person to retreat you the way the last one did, even if you find the right one. So I truly believe in fresh starts and trying to help guys get to that place. So if you don't mind, I'd love to hear a little bit about your coaching, your thoughts on helping a guy get past his past and get into a place where he's fresh and ready to actually be open and healthily receive a new relationship. How do you help guys transition?
Yeah, that's really interesting. There's so much to be said about getting past your past, because I think you're right. A lot of guys might come in with, and even to the Art of Charm or to your tours, with just baggage, right? Like just terrible baggage. And you have to be comfortable, or at least getting more comfortable in your own skin. And so what we do at AOC, at the Art of Charm, in our live programs is we really focus a lot on the subtractive process instead of the additive process. So what I mean by that is a lot of dating companies and things like that are like, here's what you need to do. You need to do this and this and this and this instead of in order to attract people or to be, you know, attractive to others. And we focus on, all right, let's get rid of insecurity. Let's get rid of limiting beliefs. Let's get rid of emotional baggage. Let's get rid of things you think you can't do or that you can't stop doing, perhaps, in order to get you more comfortable in your own skin. Because if you come into a new relationship, or if you go on the tour and start meeting people, and we've all had divorced friends, right? And then like a year after they're divorced, they're talking about women are just going to take all your money and blah, blah. And if you come into it with that mindset, you are just train wreck waiting to happen, you know, and you can't do that. You can't come in thinking you have no control over your own life. You can't come in thinking people are out to get you, or especially when gender is out to get you or whatever. You just cannot do that. And so in order to, in order to basically get this out of your system, you need to work on yourself. And most guys don't really think that. They think about replacing what they've lost, the relationship or that type of confidence. The way that you replace confidence is by figuring out what's there instead, which is usually baggage or sort of what we call head trash, which is like, there's only one out there and I lost her, or all women do this, that type of stuff we have to systematically eliminate. So we do that with a lot of hands-on drills and exercises, running you through things that shine a light on those limiting beliefs and getting rid of those, and then having you drill it over and over and over. So then when you leave Art of Charm, you feel like, oh, I can do this. Okay, I'm not all is lost. I haven't lost my ability to do this, or I haven't found the only woman willing to tolerate me, or whatever sort of thing you have going on in your head.
That's well said. You know, but there's a core thing, I guess, people intellectually, especially we deal with pretty smart guys, and sometimes they don't see what's right in front of them, you know, the forest for the trees. And, you know, people who just do common things for their business practice, you know, you'll go to a Tony Robbins event or something like this where they talk about visualizing a compelling future and putting all these things together. They don't transfer a lot of that into their dating life. And they don't realize how, Brennan Burchard says, you know, you become the sum of the thoughts that you give the most emotional weight and time spent thinking about. And they end up hanging so much on the bitterness, the anger, it ends up guiding so much of their life. And, you know, it's like the thing you think about most, you end up becoming and you develop. And so getting completely free isn't as much about, you know, them. It's about you, because if you're telling your emotional system, this is the reality of it, brace for it, it will it will, like a GPS system, guide you right back into a place of reaffirming. See, I told you so. I told you so. And so really, it's just like saying you can't tell somebody not to think about pink elephants. You have to give them something else to focus on. And so telling somebody just don't be bitter, it doesn't work. You know, it's about, I love you the way you're describing it. It's coming up with your inventory of, you know, who you are, what you're doing. And comment on this, because I think one of the things that we're finding consistently in this area of personal development, relationships, what's most attractive to women is this one thing, and I just did a whole bunch of interviews with some Ukrainian ladies here who reaffirmed this. This is what they actually love about Western men over the local guys. He goes, men from the West tend to come with a sense of purpose. They know who they are and they know what they want. And I think that's admirable, and obviously we're trying to help get guys refocused on that, but I really think even in America, even in the Western dating scene, any guy who can come into a place where he has a sense of purpose, you know, I know what I'm about, I know where I'm going, and I'm trying to find just the right person to share it with, is so attractive, and it frees them from the fears of rejection, because it's not about being rejected at all. It's about, like, I love who I am, I love where I'm going, and I'm just trying to find the right person to share it with. That posture wins the day anywhere in the world. And so I think the greatest thing we can do for guys is help them identify really what's working for you. What do you love? Who, you know, where is this train going that you just want to invite people to join? And being in that place of comfortable direction and sense of purpose is probably the most attractive thing that could ever happen to a guy in the dating scene or anywhere else. And certainly it was interesting just this week in my interviewing of these local women that they said this is the one thing they resonate as the thing that makes Western men from America stand out, is they have a sense of purpose. And sometimes we get lost when we have a train wreck and we feel like, you know, the whole baby got thrown out with the bathwater. We've lost our sense of purpose. And I'm obviously teeing you up for a great comeback here. You know, how do you then go help a guy refine his sense of purpose, what he's about, to get calm and focused on himself and not the external things that he's assigning so much pain to?
Yeah, that's tough, right? Because a lot of guys are really absorbed in the past, in the hurt, mm-hmm. and it requires experience, because we need, in order to rewire your brain, you can't just go, I'm officially okay with this now.
Or, exactly.
I'm with this. And you see this, a lot of guys go through, like, I don't know, some sort of little experience that, or they just try to let time heal it, which is fine. You know, the old cliche, time heals all wounds or whatever. It comes through in a pinch here and there. But what we're looking for, and what we accelerate at The Art of Charm, is the process of getting new experiences that help cure, if I can use that word liberally, mm-hmm. the issue, because you're getting so much positive feedback by being social with strangers, attracting women that you normally thought were out of your league, making new friends, going out and finding new experiences, that feedback loop in your brain that says, I can't do this, quickly gets overwritten. Mm-hmm. Normally, it might take you years, if you ever recover from a traumatic experience, like a relationship, divorce, or something like that.
Betrayal,
Because, what's that?
A betrayal.
Yeah, or a betrayal, especially that, because it's traumatic, and that you start to assign that to behavior. You start getting in your head and thinking, what did I do to cause this? How can I avoid this? Oh, I just need to stay in my house or not date again, or et cetera. And once you go out and you start willingly putting yourself back out there, and you're comfortable in your own skin, and you have the skill set to do it successfully, which is what we're training you to do at AOC, then those experiences start to say, okay, I experienced something really awful, but it's apparently this isn't what always happens. This isn't the normal. This isn't the default. And that's really, really powerful, because once you realize that and you actually feel it internally, it's not just your therapist saying, you know, it's not you. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can hear that all you want. You can read as many articles on WebMD or whatever about it as you want. If you don't internally believe that, if you don't feel it, if it's not part of your reality based on your experiences, you're never going to really believe it. And that's going to then affect every relationship that you have from there on out.
Yeah. I totally hear that. And in the middle of that, you triggered so many great things. I did a talk on confidence earlier, and one of the top 10, you know, these 10 things you do to develop true inner confidence, not just acting like you have it on the outside, you know, is you start to make the transition by building on little successes to reinforce your own purpose, your path that you're, you know, a successful winning person. And people under underestimate the value of counting the little things you do every day that prove I like who I am. I love what I'm doing. This goes all the way back to the 70s when you had Scott Peck write the book, The Road Less Traveled. And he talked about, he says, you know, the number one indicator of mental health is to the degree you can answer the question, how much do I say I like myself? And if you get a guy back to that point and he's focused on the evidences in his life that he is winning, he is going somewhere, he does have a purpose, he does have people who like him around him, then those evidences help build him back on a course of saying, you know what, I'm worthy for the right person. You know, I am a success. I do a lot of good things. I like who I am. And it's getting a guy back to that place without, because it's, to me, the baggage is irrelevant. It has no indicator on what's ever happened to you or who's done anything to you in the past. You have to have that sense of control over your identity, who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and find the little evidences to support, you know what, I am a success in life. I like who I am, and the right person's going to come along and appreciate it. And getting a guy to transition to that mindset is gold. You know, what I love about what you do is, if you think about it, you know, the value of getting yourself back into that productive place where you're firing on all cylinders, you don't have the poison, you have the positive, peaceful energy in your life just to go do the things you want to do. What that represents economically in your life, in terms of peace of mind, in terms of you know, everything that makes life good, where every day you're going, hey, life is good, I like my life. You know, you can't even put a price on that. And this is what I love about the guys who find us, who really realize that. They go, look, I'm here to get the best out of my life. So let me transfer a little bit, if you don't mind, into the arena of dating.
Sure.
If you're talking to a guy about getting back on his feet, how do you get somebody who's now coming cold out of a divorce, out of a long-term relationship, and he says, you know, enough time has passed, I want to get started. How do you actually help a guy to get his toe in the water, per se, to get back into the dating world? What's your first steps you give these guys?
That sort of varies, but I will give you some generic stuff where I can.
Okay.
Because it sort of depends, right? If you're coming off a betrayal, it might be one thing. If you're coming off a divorce, it might be another. If you're coming off stagnation because you've had your head down building your own business for the last 5 years and you're like, wait, what? Oh, crap. I've got to fix this. It's something else, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
But I will say that the core level is changing our nonverbal communication for the better. Because even if we're feeling really good about ourselves and our lives are in order, generally there's a lot of work that can be done on our nonverbal communication. And so the reason that we work on this is because that's your actual first impression. We make our first impression when we become a blip on other people's radar, not when we open our mouth. And if you need proof of this, look at somebody at the next time you're at the store or out in public anywhere and see what you can deduce based on what they look like, and you know, before you even speak with them. And people go, well, yeah, of course, I can tell a lot by looking at somebody, even if they're not talking and you're not talking with them. Well, what does that mean? That means your first impression has nothing to do with what that person says. But when we're dating, we're often thinking, okay, I need the perfect thing to say because that's my first impression, but that's totally false. It's patently false. Your first impression is made when they're looking at you. Mm-hmm. So if they're looking at you and you're staring at the floor, you've got your hands in your pockets, your shoulders are hunched over, you've got a beer you haven't touched sitting in front of you, or you're pretending to watch a baseball game on TV while you're dressed in clothes you haven't, you know, updated since the 90s, that's your first impression. You can have the most brilliant ninja, you know, pickup line or whatever the hell you want to call it that you want, but it doesn't matter. It's going to be too little too late.
Yeah.
And so we need to work on nonverbal communication. It's less about personal style and clothing. I sort of say that tongue in cheek, but it's less about that. And it's more about, do you have powerful but not creepy eye contact? Do you have a relaxed smile that's unforced? Does it look like you're having fun? How authentic are you appearing? Are you appearing confident? Are you appearing comfortable in your own skin? Are you appearing comfortable in your environment? If the answer is no, chances are people can tell. And women are about 20 times, and yes, I made up that statistic, better at this than men, because they can look at somebody. There's literally evolutionary psychology where women have been under essentially the threat of quote-unquote violence, right? I mean, yeah. They're the weaker physically, the weaker sex, they've had to evolve the means of this. And that's why when you're out with a girl, she'll go, I don't like him. He's creepy. And you're like, what are you talking about? And then a year later, you're like, that's what she meant by that, right? Yeah, it takes us a little while because we're not tuned into the same channels.
Right.
So you need to be communicating on those channels, not only what you want, not only on those channels entirely, but you have to be doing it well. And here's the thing about nonverbal communication. You're communicating on those channels whether you want to be or not.
Absolutely.
You can't hide from that, right? And we think a lot of times like, okay, I need to have a couple drinks. I'll get my courage going. And then I'll XYZ. You've already made an impression. Yeah. Now you're playing catch up if that's what you needed to do. And your body's communicating whether you want to or not, which is why it's a more reliable communication system. So we spend a lot of time at AOC talking about verbal and nonverbal communication because the body doesn't lie. Even gifted actors, they have to train, rehearse, and then they have to do several takes of the scene, et cetera, to make it look believable. It's very, very hard for your body to lie. And that's why people rely on it so much. And that's why we're evolved as humans and why women evolved, especially to be able to tell what's true. If you're deciding between your mouth and your body, you choose the body. And that's extremely reliable. So you cannot fake it. Luckily, the mind follows the body and the body follows the mind. And there's science behind that as well. That we discuss at AOC. And what that means is if you can create positive nonverbal communication, your mindset will say, I'm relaxed and I'm having fun. This is good. I like this. I enjoy this. And vice versa. This is a virtuous cycle where if your body language is good, it helps feed your mindset. And if your mindset is good, it helps make you look relaxed because you can't micromanage. I need a good smile, but not creepy. I need powerful eye contact, but not creepy. I need to make sure I look relaxed, but also upright and alert and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that and then also hold a conversation with somebody at the same time. It's just too much for your brain to handle consciously. It's impossible. You will look like you sat on a thumbtack if you try to do all that at once.
No, it's true. I guess I laugh because I've so watched this transition, you know, and I remember the days when I first was single again and I was thrown in back into the world of dating. And the last time I was dating, I was 28. And, you know, you carry some gravitas at 28. You can't go wrong. I mean, you do have 21-year-olds that want to date you. And then when you're single again at 41, you're like, what happened?
Yeah, sure.
And so this internal dialogue of, is it me? Is it me? And getting re-comfortable with yourself is such a magnificent transition. And I love everything you said because the connecting of the dots of following the two. And I guess to support what you're saying, what I've learned is, if you can start the path of, like you said, creating the body language, as a behavior, as like learning a new habit, and just bringing it to the world, guess what? The world responds in kind. It then assumes you to be the person you portray, and then internally you get the feedback that you're being treated this way, and then it transitions you into becoming that person, becoming very comfortable with those body language things, where then it is internal. It's part of your inner game now. I so love it when a guy finally makes that transition. You talk to him a year later, and he's comfortable with himself, he's loving his life, cylinders are rolling together and we can laugh together about, I remember the days when I came out. But it's like the thing I salute is a guy who's comfortable enough in himself to say, you know what, I'd like some help to make the transition. And like you were an attorney before, people seek legal help in other areas of their life. And to me, the package means everything. I remember the interview with Robert Kiyosaki when he came out and said, in terms of the person you want business success to, he says also finding that right person to come along your side and who's supportive of, where you want to go in life means everything. You find somebody who isn't and, it's going to be very hard for you to be successful. The package is really a great combination of becoming the man you want to be, finding the one who's going to be supportive without the games, just in a blissful, effortless relationship. Makes for that combination in life. So, well, I want to thank you so much for your time, and you and I could go on and on because we study the circles. We love what we do. We love to see guys make the transition. But thanks so much for being on the program, guys. It's artofcharm.com. His podcast is going through the roof. There's so many things going on. You want to give a last word to the guys where they can find you or what you're up to now and what you'd like to suggest?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people getting pitched, you know, this and that from every angle. So I'll tell you, from my angle, you don't have to buy anything. If you're interested in our live programs, contact us. Our phone number and contact is on our website at artofcharm.com or theartofcharm.com. But really, check out our podcast. It's free. There's hundreds, literally, of hours of instructional sort of evergreen stuff in there for you to check out. And that's in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for The Art of Charm and you'll find us. And I would love to hear from people who heard this and check out the show and see what they think of the value that we offer there. So yeah, no hard sell from me. Just take the free stuff and let me know what you think.
That's great. Always, it's a pleasure, my friend. I feel like we're a couple of voices in the wilderness trying to preach this this message, and it's doing some good. And you are doing a lot of good. And I'm really proud of you and your success, and to see how well your message is getting out to more people. And you know, I wish you just continued success. And I look forward to our relationship, and our paths keep reconnecting every once in a while as we can continue with our journey. So thanks again for being on the program.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it, man.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. If you'd like more information, free content on international dating, get the ebook, Quest Playbook, that I wrote at questplaybook.com.